Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to John's Gospel, the Gospel according to John, John 15, 26 through chapter 16. This is God's Word. "When the Counselor comes, the one I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. You also will testify because you've been with me from the beginning. I've told you these things to keep you from stumbling. They will ban you from the synagogues. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering service to God. They will do these things because they haven't known the Father or me. But I have told you these things so that when their time comes, you will remember I told them to you. I didn't tell you these things from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going away to him who sent me. Not one of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Yet because I have spoken these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father and you will no longer see me. And about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. This is why I told you that he takes from what is mine and will declare it to you. A little while and you will no longer see me. Again, a little while and you will see me." Then some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this he's telling us? A little while and you will not see me. Again a little while and you will see me. And because I'm going to the Father." They said, "What is he saying, a little while? We don't know what he's talking about." Jesus knew they wanted to ask him, and so he said to them, "Are you asking one another about what I said? A little while and you will not see me. Again a little while and you will see me. Truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will become sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her time has come. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the suffering because of the joy that a person has been born into the world. So you also have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy from you. In that day you will not ask me anything. Truly, I tell you, anything you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. I have spoken these things to you in figures of speech. A time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. On that day, you will ask in my name, and I'm not telling you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, look, now you're speaking plainly and not using any figurative language. Now we know that you know everything and don't need anyone to question you. By this, we believe that you came from God. Jesus responded to them, do you now believe? Indeed, an hour is coming and has come when each of you will be scattered to his own home and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The first thing I want us to see as we look at this passage, and this is really just a side note, if you will, but it would be a shame to miss it. I want you to see the clear way that Jesus speaks of the Trinity without ever using the word Trinity. From time to time, you'll encounter people who will say that, you know, they don't believe in the Trinity because that word isn't even in the Bible. Well, it's true. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. The word Trinity is a theological term used to try and describe what is in the Bible. And as you look at this passage, it's one of many, but it is one of the clearest and most repetitive presentations of the Trinity in Scripture. How many gods do we worship? One. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There's only one true God. But our one true God is eternally Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three persons of the Trinity. The Father isn't part of God, he's God. The Son is not part of God, he's God. The Spirit isn't part of God, he's God. And the reason this becomes so vitally important is because of what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. And that is that he's going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to live in us. Who's going to live in us? God. Now, I dare say that most of us don't really operate most of the time in a conscious awareness of that fact. If God is living in me, that has to change how I operate. For one thing, it completely flips who's in charge. You see, God is not a guest in my life anymore. He is absolutely the owner, the boss, the Lord. That is the biblical view of a Christian. Someone who has a new life, who's born of the Spirit, and now the Spirit of God is living the life of God through that person.
Pastor, I don't mean to be unkind, but if you're trying to tell me God lives in and through you, I have trouble with that because God's perfect and you are not.
That's true. I'm not perfect, but God is.
And the rest of my journey on this earth is devoted to yielding my life to him so that he will do what he wants to do through me. And that isn't just me. Well, is that because you're a preacher? No, that's because I'm a Christian. It's because I belong to Jesus. The Trinity is presented over and over in this passage. I don't know whether to try and reread all these verses, but there are so many of them, I won't. Let me just give you a list for those of you who like to take notes and look things up. Chapter 15, verse 26, and chapter 16, verse 3, and verse 5, and verse 7, and verses 8 through 10, and verses 13 through 15, and verse 17, and verse 23, and verses 25 through 28, and verse 32. You can't read this and not recognize that Jesus is talking about his relationship with the Father and the person of the Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father and who will be sent by the Father. But elsewhere, by the way, Jesus refers to the fact that I will send. Who's going to send the Spirit? God. So Jesus can speak of what the Father's going to do as something he's going to do because he's speaking in terms of what God's going to do. Well, I thought Jesus was a man. He is a man. And he is eternally submitted to the will of the Father. The Son is eternally submitted to the will of the Father. There's no rivalry within the Trinity. And yet there's perfect unity and perfect submission. A hierarchical relationship that doesn't cause friction. What would make a hierarchy function without friction and conflict? Perfect love. And that's what we see in the person of Jesus Christ and in the person of the Father and in the person of the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing. That's what God wants to do in and through us. Perfect love. Manifest it as we submit to his will. So you get this clear presentation of the Trinity, and then Jesus says something that, again, I think most of us have a little trouble believing. Chapter 16, beginning in verse 7. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you." I will send him to you. That's for your benefit. If you had a choice right now, if you had a choice between the Holy Spirit living in you or getting to hang out with Jesus and the disciples, which would you choose? See, most of us say, "Well, I believe the Bible's true, every word. I trust God. Yes, I believe that." But man, I wish I could have been with Jesus, you know? I mean, wouldn't that be really cool? See, like, water turn to wine, he walks on the water, all that kind of stuff. That would be awesome. I'd love to be able to, like, ask him my questions, you know, just, like, talk to him. And so I guess we can't have that, so we'll have to just go with this thing of the Holy Spirit. But I can't see the Holy Spirit. John chapter 3 says, you know, the wind blows and you can see the effects, but you can't see the wind. You may not be able to see the Holy Spirit, but he is God. And he lives in you if you're a Christian. If you are a Christian, God himself is living in you. So you need to start acting like it. Amen? You need to realize he's there as Lord to change you from the inside out and make you like Jesus. Jesus says, it is for your benefit. Because if Jesus didn't go back to the Father, you and I would not experience the Holy Spirit living in us. Take a look real quickly. John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him." He said this about the Spirit. Those who believed in Jesus were going to receive the Spirit, for the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Do you remember what Jesus said about John the Baptist? He says, never been a greater man born of woman, but he's less than the least in the kingdom. What? What? You see, God's intention was to do something that was beyond anything that had ever happened before. And we're living in the midst of it and don't even recognize what we've got. You hear about somebody who had a painting that was in the family. I'm not sure where Grandpa got it, but you know, it's kind of always been an interesting piece. And then it turns out to be by one of the masters, and it sells for more money than anything in history. Didn't know what we had. Well, there are a lot of people trying to live the Christian life without understanding the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, when you begin to understand what I am giving to you by sending my Spirit to live in you, you will understand that you are better off. It is for your benefit that I'm going to the Father and I'm going to send my Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is described in this passage with two phrases. One, in this translation, is the Counselor. It's, in other translations, the Advocate. Or in other translations, it is the Helper. And all three of those are valid translations. But none of those words fully encompass what paraclete means. Paraclete is the Greek term, anglicized. And it means one who comes alongside. Well, that's nice. But why would they say advocate? Well, the word they're using there, and likewise the meaning of counselor here, is not just somebody who gives you advice. It's your attorney, okay? Have you ever heard a lawyer called counselor in a courtroom? Well, counselor, I believe that, okay? The Holy Spirit is described as our defense attorney, our advocate. He stands up for us. He speaks on our behalf. Remember Jesus telling his followers, don't worry, you're going to be hauled into situations where you're going to have to testify on my account. Don't worry about what you're going to say. The Spirit will give you what you're supposed to say. Okay? It's one of the things a good lawyer does. He prepares his witness. And the marvelous thing is, you know, there are some lawyers who are just scoundrels, absolute scoundrels, and they try and pervert justice by promoting lies. But this advocate, this counselor, this helper who comes alongside with us is the Spirit of Truth. What he does is enable us to stand against the lies of the enemy. The Bible refers to Satan as the accuser of the brethren. And we have an advocate. We have a defense attorney. We have one who speaks on our behalf. Now, in 1 John, Jesus is referred to that way, as being our advocate. Okay, now I'm confused. Is the Holy Spirit our advocate, or is Jesus our advocate? Both of them are referred to that way, and the reason is because God's on our side. And if God is for us, who can stand against us? God is the one who justifies. Who's the one who condemns? That's what Paul says in Romans. So you and I are told in this passage that the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the helper, our advocate, is the Spirit of truth. And the consequence of that is as you and I look toward the future, we don't have to be afraid. I have only one hope of being accepted by God. And it's not my resume. It's Jesus. We see in this passage Jesus preparing his disciples, knowing that they're still not getting it. They're hearing what he's saying, but they're not really totally accepting it. And I love this exchange later in the passage where they say, "By this we believe you came from God." And Jesus responded to them, "Do you now believe?" It's like, after everything we've been through, you're now coming to the conclusion that I came from God? I mean, they had already believed that on one level, but they keep finding it out over and over and over again. This has got to be the Messiah. I believe it. Okay, I'm willing to leave my business and follow him. I'm willing to, you know, but, oh, wow. Okay, now I get it. Now. And then they go a little further, and it's like, I don't know. I'm confused. I don't get it. And then Jesus says or does something else, and they're like, okay, all right, he's the Messiah. Well, that's what happens again here in this chapter. They're confused. Jesus responds. They say, okay, now, I mean, you answered the question we were asking without our having to ask, so okay, we get it. Jesus says, really? You believe now? Indeed, an hour is coming and has come when each of you will be scattered to his own home and you'll leave me alone. Jesus is about to be arrested. Jesus is about to be beaten, mocked, and crucified. And the disciples are going to be scattered. Jesus knows not only what he's about to go through, he knows what they're about to go through. And I want you to understand, Jesus doesn't, knowing that, say, you guys might as well just go ahead and go. I mean, you know, I can't depend on you. So take off. You're wasting my time. No. He loves them. Just like he loves you. Just like he loves me. And he seeks to prepare them for what's coming and to tell them, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but don't be afraid. Have courage. I've already overcome the world. If you go back to chapter 14, especially verse 17, again, all of this is tied together. Jesus says, he is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. That's the good news. Christ in you, Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that God himself has come to live his life in and through you? Talk about a confidence boost. Our confidence is in him, what he has done, and what he has promised to do. He takes people like us, and he does miracles. Praise his name.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.